Welcome. I'm glad to see you're here again at the diner where the only dish we serve is the CLT sandwich. I hope you've returned with an empty stomach, eagerness, and a little bit of caution. Come inside and sample the dish where the flavor palette changes each week. From cryptids, to legendary people, tall tales, and myths from around the world. Stay a while, ignore the other patrons, and enjoy the dish that is the CLT sandwich.
Welcome back to the CLT Diner, where the only dish we serve is the CLT sandwich. My name is Anthony. I have the honor of serving you this wonderful dish. Enjoying today's dish with you is Sven. Say hello to your fellow diners, Sven.
Hello, fellow diners.
Yeah, just Sven today. No Jared, because he's back to work. And I got Sven boy here.
So it's going to be a relaxed episode, yeah. Free of racially charged sentiments. Hopefully.
Yeah, because Sven and I, we don't bring out aggressiveness. Well, we don't bring out, like, playful aggressiveness. We'll talk about other people and how we want to cave in their skulls. But we won't, like, start fighting each other.
Like Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
I'm gonna talk. I can be aggressive. I can, you know, I had to do it once.
No, you're fine. We went golfing yesterday, and boy, this Sven fucking... He says it's not barking.
It's not.
But it is barking to me. You say it's an aggressive, sharp noise, right?
Yeah.
It's just
we get full of rage. Just,
like my neighbors. Oberon. The little golden doodle.
Sure.
But yes, how you doing today, Sven?
Good, good. I'm fine.
Good? You don't have to lie to the audience? If you don't feel good, you can lie. You don't have to lie.
I feel terrible.
All right.
Planet's dying, and the billionaires aren't dying with it.
Nope. They're living in a bunker. Not in space.
Not in space.
Thank God.
They will not escape.
Nope. So, we are going to talk about our very first murderer today.
Oh, you mean in the context of this show?
Yes.
I thought you were trying to tell me that our topic, that is yet to be named, was the first murder that had ever occurred. And I was going to be like, no. Do you know about Cain and Abel?
No one before the year 1974 ever was murdered.
No, that's true.
Considering that my mother was born in 1974 and my grandfather was born at the end of World War II, no one was ever murdered.
Nope, not Archduke Ferdinand.
Nope. Who even is that guy? So, yeah, as you can read from the title, I hope I'll find something fun to talk to fucking give this snippy. But we're going to talk about the Amityville Horror House, or 112 Ocean Avenue, Amityville, New York. Which I'm not going to censor, because that is an address that everyone knows.
That's fair.
Like, every time I...
I imagine it's a fucking tourist attraction by now.
It's actually still a personal house. But I'm sure the people who live there would be like, yeah, you can tour my house for $100,000.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when I talk about addresses being censored, I know whenever Jared, whenever he says to send this mail, I always say send it to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And he always censors out, because that's also the White House's address.
Oh.
Yeah, and
That's funny.
It is. Which is why I can name it off the top of my head, like, oh yeah, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. They'll find the zip code. They're smart.
One of these days he's going to forget, and President Biden is going to get fucking fan art or fan mail in the mail, and he's gonna be like, what the fuck is this?
What's gonna happen is one day I'm gonna get a knock on my door, and it's gonna be the FBI saying, are you Anthony Denny? Yeah? Here's your mail.
Who's asking, G-Man? Oh, here's your mail? Oh, thanks, Fed.
Yeah, cool, thanks. Like, I feel like that's what's gonna go down. They're gonna be basically like, don't fucking do this. But here's your mail. We couldn't open it because it's a federal crime.
You think the FBI cares? Look me in the eye. Tell me the FBI cares about federal crimes.
All right.
To the CIA and the FBI, there are no truer believers of the phrase, it's only legal if you get caught.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with that.
When you are the oversight agency.
Who watches the Watchmen.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah. So, back we are today. Yeah, we're going to be talking about the Amityville Horror, which, more specifically, we are going to be talking about the DeFeo murders. But also, we're going to go over the book and how much of a scam it is.
There's a book.
Oh, yeah. This all comes from a book. The movie came from a book.
What about the murders?
Oh, no, the murders really happened.
Okay, I think I understand the flow of events here. The murders inspired the book movie adaptation.
Yes. Well, there's a little step in between, but yes, that's the gist. Murder, book, movie.
Okay.
Remake. With Ryan Reynolds.
All right.
Oh. Did you not see the Amityville Horror remake?
No.
I saw it in theaters. It came out in 2005.
That was a couple years ago.
I was in fifth grade. I specifically remember it because my sister, who was older than me, when she would have been in sixth grade, ran out of the theater crying.
Oh, no.
Because my mom took me and my sister to a horror movie because I loved horror movies back then. So she's like, oh, you want to go see this one in theaters? Yeah. But we'll get into that. So, before we get into the movies, before we get into the book, let's talk about the murder.
Yes, please. The interesting part.
Yeah, which is, have you seen the movies?
I've seen a couple of the movies, but it has been a very long time since I've seen any of them.
It's going to be different. That's going to be the biggest thing. Fans of the movies who don't care about the history, which I'm sure there's a very niche group of these people who are like, I love the movie. I don't care about the real facts about it. Like, I'm sure it's a real small thing. But the murders are a lot different in real life, shockingly. So we're going to talk about Ronald. I think it's Butch. Yeah, Butch DeFeo Jr.
I remember that name.
Butch is, just so we can differentiate him from his father, he is our murderer. He's the man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. He is the oldest of five siblings.
I, forgive the interruption.
No, you're fine.
I looked up which of the Amityville Horror films I'm most familiar with, and it's number 4, The Evil Escapes. I didn't know there were 4 of these films. It's the one about an evil lamp. Have you not seen this?
I've seen the original and the remake. I've not seen any of the sequels.
Oh, boy. Yeah. They find, like, there's this wicked-looking lamp at a garage sale from the original Amityville house, I do believe. And they buy it because, oh, cool lamp. Oh. And it's evil. It's possessed by a demon. And it just starts doing evil shit at the new house. And there is one particular scene, I have a photo of it, where the top of this lamp is like a dome, like a globe ball of light. And at one point, they show the demon's face through the lamp ball. And it's very clearly like they CGI'd superimposed like him looking through a peephole over it. It's very silly. I know this is an audio format, but I'll show it to you. So it's silly. It looks goofy.
It is so silly. So when he says like a dome, it looks like a street lamp with the one of the sphere street lamps.
Yes.
And it looks like he's just someone carved a pumpkin.
Yep.
It's awful. No, yeah, there's been a lot of movies.
Clearly.
Ronald DeFeo Jr., the eldest of 5 siblings, he lived in New York. He was born in Brooklyn and all that. I don't know at the moment if he lived with his parents or if he didn't, because he was old enough, but he grew up, the DeFeo family was a very popular family in the Amityville town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people saw them like, wow, that's an idyllic family. Well, behind the curtain, turns out Robert DeFeo Sr., his dad, abusive asshole.
What a surprise.
Yeah, he was rude to his mother. And he was especially rude to Butch here, because Butch is being the oldest. He, you know, put the most pressure on him. He's got to be, you know, the strongest. They would have boxing matches every now and then where basically the dad would beat the shit out of him. Be like, oh, you got to be stronger and all that. And, you know.
Just generally great parenting style, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. And one time when Ronald and his mother were fighting, dad and mom were fighting, Butch took a gun and said, you leave her alone, and threatening him with it.
Go off, King.
Yeah, which specifically it was a 35 Marlin rifle, which we'll get back to that gun.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah. But
I sure hope nothing bad happens to Robert DeFeo Sr.
Yeah. So, on November 13th, 1974.
Great year.
Great year. About 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, actually, let's do this. Around 6:30 on November 13th, DeFeo, 23, he was 23 at the time, bursts into Henry's bar, which is where he was a regular at, and he declared, you gotta help me, I think my mother and father are shot. Which he led a small group of people to his house, and they found the bodies. They found six bodies.
Six
bodies. The mother, the father, his two little brothers, and his two sisters.
Right.
All of them shot. So, at about 3:15 in the morning, 3 o'clock, 3:15-ish, depends on your source.
It seems to be a popular time for supernatural events.
What happened was, Butch here, he brought that 35, and he went into the house, he went up to his parents' room, and he shot his dad and mom when they were in bed. Didn't kill them immediately. Dad got up to fight, shot him again. Dead. Mom dying on the thing. Bam. Shot her.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. He then goes to his brother's rooms where they were sharing a room. Tells them to roll over on their bellies. And it bang, bang. Back in the head.
Wow. Okay.
And he goes to his younger sister's room. She's sleeping. She raises up her head. Bang. Goes through her cheek, out her ear.
Heavy sleeper, clearly.
clearly. And then we get to the oldest sister, who's 18 at the time. bang. Back of the head. Killed them all. And then took off his clothes. Disposed of the evidence. And took a bath. At the house where his six family members he shot dead.
That's, I wonder why the siblings, I wonder why the mother, if it was just the father who was the asshole.
Yeah, that's going to be the crazy part. So, to this group of people that he had view his house, you know, basically, oh, here's my alibi, you know, I found the body, came immediately to help.
Mm-hmm.
They noticed that, you know, one of the friends immediately called the cops, which, yeah, smart.
Yeah.
You would do that. but they, Butch, he already had a story. He said, well, because Butch, he was into drugs, he was a drunk. And his family had ties to the mob. The DeFeo family had ties to the mob.
Oh, but you know, DeFeo, I suppose that's not ultimately shocking.
So he said, you guys are going to want to check out Louis Fellini, who is a mob hitman. Like, that's who Butch said that killed his family. Which, you know, they eventually did get Louis or Louie. I don't know how, whichever is pronounced. I assume probably Louis, because Italian, like Louis Prima.
Yeah.
I don't know. But who actually, he had an alibi. So he was...
Yeah.
So they got Butch again into interrogation, and they started pointing out inconsistencies in his different stories, and then he confessed, saying that he killed him. Saying, once I started, I just couldn't stop. It went so fast. I could understand that, you know, adrenaline. He probably went there to kill his dad, and it's like, oh, there's going to be a witness, and probably blood. I mean, he was probably not in the same mind on drugs.
Yeah, a drunk does drugs. Deals with physical and mental and emotional abuse from his father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who he worked with, by the way, as well, after...
So, you know, shady mob shit, possibly.
Possibly, so.
Stressful life. Yeah, so
he probably just snapped and...
Yeah, I think that's what it was. He just was like, blah, blah.
Yeah, like, he went in with a bad decision, made a mistake, and was like, well, this is it now.
I don't know if murdering Senior was a bad decision per se, but...
Yeah, I mean, as much as it's like... You know, the thing like, oh, you should never wish something bad on anyone. No, fuck this guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
You abuse your wife, you abuse your kids, fuck you. Now, here comes the biggest important part about the Amityville story.
Yes.
DeFeo on trial.
Mm-hmm.
His defense claimed that he was hearing voices. That something was telling him to kill his family. If you don't kill them, they'll kill you first.
Is it guilty by reason of insanity or innocent by reason of insanity?
It would technically still be guilty, which, fun fact, if you are deemed guilty by insanity, probably be worse for you because you're going to go to a nut house for the rest of your life where you're probably going to get abused and never getting out.
Yeah.
Because you're crazy. So if they're like, they're never going to believe you. Like, oh no, I was faking it. Nah.
No.
Back.
Once you introduce that doubt of your stability, it's
forever gone.
Yeah, people are always gonna squint at you skeptically.
Yeah. Though the prosecution psychiatrist Dr. Harold Zolin maintained that, you know, DeFeo was a user of heroin and LSD, and he had a antisocial personality disorder, which we're not shocked by. He was fully aware of his actions at the time.
I don't necessarily doubt that he heard voices. Do I think they were supernatural? No, almost certainly not. Because taking hard drugs like that, especially...
Like LSD.
LSD. Mm-hmm. Pair it with alcohol. Pair it with any kind of antisocial disorder that he had.
And
his home life. Yeah, though, like, the factors of that stress mixing with that kind of chemical, you would hallucinate shit.
Yeah, like, psychedelics, they will, like, latch onto something and amplify it.
Yeah, that's probably, there was probably a lot of subconscious screaming in his mind, like, I hate my father, or I hate my family, I should fucking kill him, and then...
Someone's like, yeah, do it.
He just snaps, and boom, it happens.
Yeah. So, he was, a year later, November 21st, 1975, he was found guilty on 6 counts of second-degree murder, second-degree is common learner, is basically non-aggravated murder.
Non-aggravated.
Which basically means that you weren't angry, like, you didn't bust down the door angry, like... It wasn't like a
heat of passion kind of.
Yeah. Premeditated.
Okay.
Stuff like that. So just because it sounds like it's not as bad as first degree, it's
the murder's murder.
Yeah, murder's murder. He's still going to jail. Well, matter of fact, he did go to jail. And he was sentenced to six sentences, one for every person he killed, which is typically what the justice system does, of 25 to life. So even if he got the minimum on all those, that's still like 150 years.
Yeah.
If I'm doing my math right in my head, which I don't know if I am.
I don't know either. I don't know math. I've never added in my life.
Calculator. 25 times 6. Yeah, 150.
Can you imagine if he didn't die of old age, though? Like, he was, like, 149, and he was, like, physically in, like, maybe his 60s. And the guards there would say, you motherfucker.
Well, I think that would be the point where, like, all right, you're doing life.
Like, oh, yeah, it's, oh, no, it was life. Sorry.
Actually, it's funny that you brought that up, because Butch actually died this year in March.
2021, the year of our Lord.
Yep. He died 4 months ago. Not even. March 12th.
Well, holy shit.
Yeah, it's, I didn't even know that. When I was looking this up, I'm like, oh my god, he recently died. They have not announced how he died yet. I assume years of drugs and alcohol abuse. His body just was like, alright, we're going now.
Yeah.
But that is the murders, but the here comes in a crazy part about the murders. Have you ever seen we've shot guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's a notorious thing about guns?
Loud.
Loud.
Very, very loud.
Very, very loud. In Amityville.
Especially in an enclosed space.
Yeah. In Amityville, kind of like how my house is, like, with our neighbors, close neighbors.
Yeah.
No one heard a gunshot. People heard a dog bark, but not the gunshot.
What time did the murders occur? It was 3 a.m.
3 a.m., yep.
I mean,
it took 15 minutes.
Most people would be dead asleep, but even then, I feel like...
No, but there were witnesses awake, but they only reported hearing the dog bark. Shaggy, family's sheepdog.
Weird.
Yeah. Also, people don't know about true motive, because anything like that, because, you know, all the witnesses are dead. He's dead now, so yeah. We'll never truly know, and every time someone asks, he would change the story to why he did it. But he did deny hearing voices eventually. He's like, no, I didn't hear voices. It was just what my defense team came up with. Which, good on him for just saying that.
But do we believe it?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think that it was just him saying, like, yo, he heard voices. He doesn't, because death penalty.
Right.
If you are illegally insane, you cannot be death penalty.
Weird.
Yeah, this is just a law. But they do the sentencing before they do, the sentencing before the punishment. Well, they do guilt before the sentencing. So if you're found, like, not guilty by legal of insanity, you can still be put away for life.
Of course.
But if you're found guilty, regular, that now is a flip. Life in prison or death.
Mm-hmm.
So, it must be so stressful being a lawyer, especially a defense lawyer, being like, I know these people are guilty, but I can't do anything. I have to defend them.
Yeah. I think that concept is fascinating on how truly hard it is for the human being to be impartial.
Oh, yeah.
Especially on something so serious, where, like you said, someone being like, I have to defend this motherfucker, but I fully believe that he's guilty.
Or even the opposite on prosecution. You know that person's innocent, but you have to prosecute them.
Yeah, it's...
I couldn't do it.
I think it's one of the many flaws of our justice system. But I also have no advice on how to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like if you are a prosecutor and you feel someone's innocent, you are just, like, nitpicking every tiny little detail just to get something. Just to try to get them convicted as guilty. Mm-hmm. Not because they actually are.
But because it's your job.
Yeah. And that's not justice.
No, it's not. But it's the thing, like, if you're at the murder site, you know, you have fingerprints around the murder weapon. Like, if someone broke into my house while I was working and stabbed my wife with one of my kitchen knives, and I didn't know until I came down, I'm probably prime suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially like if I had to come back from walk, our door's unlocked. You know, I'm upstairs. I typically try to ignore what Heather's saying, so I focus at work. Just comes in, stabs. I mean, I will come down if I hear Heather scream. I'll fucking run down the stairs, but I would be fucking suspect number one and be like, all right, he was at the house. His finger's on the murder weapon. No one else was there. He's obviously guilty. So, it's just like, there's got to be a thin line. I'm sure not every case is like, oh yeah, this person's obviously innocent and I have to condemn them to jail. Or this person's obviously guilty and I have to defend them.
I worry that our legal system, our justice system, is going to be or already is fraught with lawyers that just don't care. Like, it's more of, it's not something they're passionate about, mm-hmm. the concept of justice. They're like, it's a job, it pays well. So they don't give a shit if they put someone away if they're innocent, or they don't give a shit if someone's guilty and they see them walk free. They're just like, oh, I got paid.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of those people.
I mean, fuck those people.
Yeah, you can find those people at any job.
Yeah.
Being like, all right, all I got to do is the bare minimum and I'll get my paycheck. Yeah, I mean, we had Burger King Day. We all saw how that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's because Taylor's...
Yeah.
But also, DeFeo, he also kept appealing for parole, and every time he was denied, because he shot and killed six people, including three legal children.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, you're not getting out of jail.
I feel bad for him. Because,
I mean, if he didn't have an abusive home, he probably wouldn't have gone to drugs or drinking.
Yeah, you know, nature versus nurture. What he did is obviously monstrous, but it was... Long, sorry.
No, you're fine. Auto medium.
Yeah, I just feel bad. I just, you know, I wish it hadn't come to that. Not only for the victim's sake, but for his, because everyone deserves to have a chance at a good life.
Yeah. And it's very unfortunate about what happened. Because, you know, one little thing could have changed it. If he, you know, if Dad wasn't there, all these people probably could have been alive.
Yeah.
Just one little thing. It's really sad. Speaking of really sad, let's talk about exploiting. So, on November 13th, 1974, you know, Butch killed his family.
Yep.
In December 1975, George and Kathy Lutz, I'm going to say Lutz, L-U-T-Z, and their three children moved into the house.
Yes.
28 days later, they left.
Yes.
And that's the big tagline, like, of all the movies. Like, oh, they live there. Now, this is... And then they eventually, with Jay Anson, they wrote a novel, and they sold their story. They bought the house for $80,000.
Yep.
Which was a steal.
Yeah, of course.
Yep, which, of course it was a steal.
Because fucking people got murdered there.
Yeah. Not, like, a year ago. Like, when these people were looking at the house, because buying a house takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably while he was in jail, like, wasn't even sentenced yet. Because he was sentenced in December.
Mm-hmm.
So he was sentenced. Yeah, he was in November 1975. So a month after that, they bought this house. So they were probably looking at that for a long time. So they knew. But the Amityville house, 112 Ocean Avenue, it is a cool looking house.
It is.
I love it's like a colonial or something. I don't know about houses.
I think that's right. I don't know if this is just because the media around the Amityville, like the books, the films, the murder, the sensation, if that influences how I see the house, or if the house is inherently sinister. Because...
So this is the front of the house, which I know, audio medium.
Yeah.
The front of the house is just, it's a house. It's a cool looking house, though.
Yeah.
But the side of the house.
With
the two eye-like windows?
Yes, the two eye-like windows that it's famous for.
Yeah. Like, all the shots of the ambulance. I mean, in the movie and stuff, they do emphasize it. They make the house eyes look a little bigger, like this shot here, where it's clearly built a little different.
Yes.
Comparatively. But it's still emphasizes. It's still, it's got fucking eyes. This house has eyes on the side of it.
Yeah, and even, like, the position of the two windows below it, it almost vaguely looks like a skull.
It does not vaguely look like a skull. That looks like a skull. Like, because it's got the indent here where the it would go down from the cheek.
The typical, like, imagine a drawing of a skull, like a cartoon skull. Yeah. That's what the side of this house looks like.
It's amazing that they did that. But, yeah, the house itself was built in 1927. It's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom building.
Holy shit.
That's a big-ass house.
$80,000.
Yeah. I would buy that house, too.
Yeah.
Like, and it is a Dutch colonial style. It also had a swimming pool and a boathouse.
Well, fuck me.
Yeah. $80,000.
Millennial dream. Affording a house. God, nowadays it's like, oh, this house is 2 bedrooms and half a bathroom. That's $120,000.
Yep. I mean, that's why we built this house. This house, 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath, $200,000. Which is not a bad deal, I'll be honest. Yeah. I mean, with how big my house is, it's expensive still.
Yeah.
I'm paying for until I'm 60. But,
Well, I mean, the hope is that you make it to 60 and you're still living here at that time.
Yeah, and then I can give it to someone else. So, they wrote their story. And, you know, they made a lot of money.
Of course.
Because, you know, true story. And as the story goes, from the book that was written, this is a plot summary off of Wikipedia. You know, George and Kathy, they were married in July that year of 1975. they want to start fresh with a new property. Kathy had 3 kids from a previous marriage, Daniel, Christopher, and Melissa. And they had a dog named Harry.
Yep.
Yep, and they had no problem doing it. This is also a big difference between the movie, like the movies and the real story, and also the book, is that in the movies, typically the DeFeo family, Butch will be a father, and he'll kill his wife and kids.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be the big thing, and then be like, oh, look how much you look like Butch. Which, of course, back in the 70s, all the guys looked the same. They all had long hair and a beard.
Yeah.
But that was the style. That would be like... be like you going up somewhere and being like, oh my god, you look so much like that guy over there who's white with brown hair and mostly clean shaven.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's just
generic. You're like walking up to a fucking frat bro and being like,
you look like that guy over there. You both have undercuts and dark hair. And, oh, you look like you're on the TikTok. You smell of bad weed that was overcharged. And kind of oregano. So, also, not only did they get this house for $80,000, most of the DeFeo family furniture was still there.
That I would not be okay with.
I agree. That shit would be gone.
Yeah, that would be gone. That's a bit weird.
Like, oh, these are the beds that people were murdered in, and the couch that they sat in, and the bathtub that the murderer used after he murdered. Yeah, we're just gonna... we're gonna gut this house.
Yeah.
And it was included for $400. So that $80,000. $400 was included furniture.
What?
Yeah. I mean, that happens a lot of times. Like, if you are to buy, like, a home, sometimes they can become pre-furnished.
Yeah, but, like, $400? I'm sad that this is the part I'm outraged by. But nowadays, I'm like, oh, I wonder how much fucking couches cost. Oh, $700. Okay.
I think that thing was like 1500.
That's absurd.
Or 700. It was expensive couch. You can ask Heather. I give her the money. She's the one who does the purchases. a friend of George learned the house history and rightfully so wanted to have it blessed.
Yeah.
Yep. And by the way, this is according to the book. We don't know if this is actual history. It could be embellished or lies. At the time, George was a non-practicing Methodist and doesn't know how to bless a house. And Kathy was a non-practicing Catholic who explained the process. And George knew a Catholic priest named Father Ray, who agreed to carry out the blessing. Father Ray was, in real life, Father Ralph J. Picaro, referred to as Father Mancuso for privacy reasons. Also, it turns out Father Ralph might be a liar, so who fucking knows?
A liar about what?
The story about what happened.
Oh, okay.
So, Father Mancuso, he came and he did a blessing. Now, I have never blessed the house, but as a Chicano, which for all you white people, that means I am a Mexican-American, because that's what the term is. But I'm Hispanic. I have Latin descent and all that. I know how to smudge, but other than that, that's where you get the right herbs, and you bind them, and you burn it, and you go around going like, "Be gone, spirits!
Be gone, evil demons!" Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't properly know how to bless a house. I assume it involves holy water, which it does. Basically, the father went around the house, started flicking holy water, and he began to pray. And when that happened, he heard a masculine voice say, "Get out." Classic. Nowadays, a classic thing.
Yeah, the spooky ethereal. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I kind of wonder, because I feel like blessing a house against malicious spirits, it's kind of like putting a wall around your house and then slapping a sign on it saying, "No one can get past my wall." People are like, "I wasn't really concerned, but okay. Let's test this theory."
Yeah, I mean, what does what's his name in Mulan?
Shan Yu.
Yeah, what does Shan Yu say when, you know, what his motivation is?
The Great Wall of China
invited his challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But yeah, I kind of feel like if I was a demon, that's also a blessing place. I'm like, I'm totally gonna fucking haunt that house now.
I wonder if there's some kind of weird metaphysical loophole for, because you know the a common trope among ghouls and gobs is they cannot enter
without permission.
Yeah. In some kind of weird roundabout way, blessing a place against intrusion offers up invitation, like
I can see, like, oh, all this part of the house was blessed, but that part wasn't, so clearly I can come here.
But also, like, if you look, like, you look at your neighbor's house, the inherent thought there is, I'm not allowed to go in.
Yeah, can't go in
unless invited. Yeah. But if your neighbor unprompted was like, "You're not allowed to come in my house,"
why can't I go in your house?
Yeah, there's something.
Yeah, no, that would make me like, okay, I want to go in that house now.
Yeah. Well, that just sounds like, you know, that's kind of a bad example, because I'm like, okay, well, you got like fucking fingers.
No, I mean,
there.
Like, if my neighbor, who I don't talk to, came up to me unprompted and said, "You can't come in my house," I'd be like, okay. But then at the back of my mind, I'm like, no, I kind of want to go into your house, because clearly there's a reason why you don't want me there.
Yes.
I'm like, no, I can see that. But when the father, he did not mention this incident to George or Kathy. What a shock, right? Because, you know, why would you mention hearing a voice?
Of course.
And on December 24th, which is Christmas Eve for all those who don't know. Father Mancuso called George Lutz and advised him to stay out of the second floor room where he had heard the mysterious voice, which was the former bedroom of Mark and John of DeFeo, the sons who were the brothers who were murdered, which Kathy planned on using as a sewing room. Which, you know, personally, now again, good for these people. I would not want my peace room to be the room where someone was murdered in.
I mean, all the rooms were.
Only the bedrooms.
Were somewhere.
I would fucking, like, put a wall up in the fucking hall, and like, in the living room downstairs, like, alright, this is where I'm sewing, because I'm going to be at peace here. There's not going to be any fucking boogeyman coming
boogie? Around. There ain't going to be any boogies.
Nope. Following his visit to the house, Father Mancuso allegedly developed a high fever and blisters on his hand where he would bleed from.
I love the idea that he waited until Christmas Eve to be like, you know, I maybe heard something scary in one of the rooms.
Yeah, it was December 18th, I don't know if I said that, where he originally did the rites. So he waited almost 10 days.
Okay, that's... I was under the impression that this was much later. So 10 days is still a long time to be like, you know, maybe it's not safe there.
I would mention that on the way out.
She's like, oh, thanks for having me come over. There might have been a demon in the house. What?
And then just, he takes a step outside and his hands just burst into blood like,
okay, weird.
Well, this doesn't happen every day.
Good house. Good house you got here.
At first, George and Kathy experienced nothing. I think I'm saying Kathy and George. It sounds better in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy and George experienced nothing unusual in the house. You know, talking about their experience subsequently, they reported they felt like they were each living in a different house. I don't know what that means.
I'd say, do they expand on that idea? Like,
probably, but probably a different way every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. By mid-January 1976... after another attempt of getting the house blessed, Kathy and George, they experienced what would turn out to be their final night in the house. The Lutzes declined to give a full account of the events that took place on the occasion, describing them as too frightening.
Yes, I do remember the statement.
And what happened was they left the house. They left all their stuff. They left their dog. Which. Oh, wait, no, they didn't leave their dog. My apologies.
You lied to me.
After getting in touch with Father, you know, Mancuso to take some of their belongings, say, at Kathy's mother's house in Deer Park, until they sorted that problem, they claimed that the phenomenon followed them there. Where the book describes that the greenish black slime coming from the staircase towards them. But on January 14th, 1976,
there was a greenish slime.
Yeah. That followed them.
That followed them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Ghosts.
Is this the plot of Flubber?
No. But on January 14th, 1976, they left all their possessions behind. The next day, a mover came to remove the possessions. While he was there, he reported no phenomenon in the house. And one big thing is that George, apparently on the date that they left, when they escaped, they looked back towards the windows, and in one of them, there was a man with a pig's head.
Okay.
And just hanging out in the window. Which is a weird way to describe a scary demon. But, yeah. So, you wanna hear some criticism and controversies?
I do love some controversy.
Alright. So, during the course of a lawsuit surrounding the case. What case? In the late 70s, Father Perricota, also known as Father Mancuso, stated in an affidavit that his only contact with the Lutzes concerning the matter had been by telephone. And he said, on other accounts, he says that he did visit the house, but Nothing unusual is experienced there. The claim of physical damage to the locks, doors, and windows were rejected by Jim and Barbara Cromarty, who bought the house for $55,000.
Another steal.
Although it says that it is equivalent to $235,000 in 2020.
Okay.
Which, still a steal. That's still a five bedrooms, a pool, and a boathouse on a canal.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's still a pretty good deal. Barbara Cromarty argued that they had appeared to be the original items and had not been repaired. So in the book, the plot summary didn't have this, but there's the Red Room, where apparently it's where all the spooky evil stuff is.
Yeah,
the Red Room in the basement. The Cromartys revealed that the Red Room was a small closet in the basement, and it was not concealed in any way. The claim made in Chapter 11 of the book was that the house was built on site of a local, I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly, because I'm an immature, Shinnecock Indians. It's Shinnecock. Shinnecock. Probably Shinnecock.
Okay.
Had once abandoned the mentally ill and the dying. You know, that was what the Red Room was supposed to be, but then this was also rejected by the local Native American leaders.
This is a very white thing of me to say.
Uh-huh.
But what I understand about the Native Americans, they were pretty cool people.
Yeah, no, they were chill people.
I don't think they would just be like mentally ill or disabled. I'm into the pit with you.
No. Actually, as a matter of fact, there have been cases where they were actually better taken care of than the savage Europeans across the pond.
Yeah, probably. I believe it.
Yeah, because, you know,
dumbass white people.
Yeah, because white people see someone with a disability and be like, you're a burden. Well, you know, Native Americans, I was like, oh, let me help you.
Yeah. Oh, you can't make money. What use are you?
Exactly. Oh, you can't walk? Well, then you'll do something that doesn't involve walking. As opposed to in the pits.
In the pit. The nondescript pit.
The claim of cloven hoof prints in the snow was rejected by other researchers. Which also, I love the fucking, because you know in Wikipedia, it'll cite the sources, like a one, a two, a three. Of this course. Has a who? Like, in the brackets, it says who with a question mark. Like, who are these researchers?
Oh.
And I love that. And neighbors, who? Another who? Have reported nothing unusual during the time that the Lutes were living there. And police officers are depicted visiting the house in the book and in the 1979 film. But records show the Lutes did not call the police when they were living there. Yeah, the book came out in... See, this is also a big suspicion. The book came out in 1977. Film came out in 1979.
Yeah, that's a bit...
That's a bit like, no, you had this too ready.
Yeah. That was way too on the mark. Mm. On me mark.
on me set. Me go! In May 1977, Jordan Kathy Lutes filed a lawsuit against William Weber, the defense lawyer of Ronald DeFeo Jr. at his trial. Paul Hoffman, a writer working on the account of the hauntings, Bernard Burton and Frederick Mars, both of alleged clairvoyants who had examined the house, along with Good Housekeeping Magazine, the New York Sunday News, and the Hearst Corporation. The Lutes' alleged misappropriation of their name for trade purposes, invasion of privacy, and mental distress. Here's also why Wikipedia is basically saying why William Weber was in it, is he wrote in 1979's People magazine, I know the book is a hoax. We created this horror story over many bottles of wine.
There you have it.
Yeah, I mean, it's straight up a hoax. George Lutz maintains that the events in the book were, quote, mostly true. In 1979, George and Kathy took a polygraph test related to the experience of the house, and the results did not indicate lying. But polygraph tests are very easy to fool. You gotta let people tell that. Because it's about your heart rate. Because if you think something's gonna happen, like, you can calm yourself down.
Yeah.
So, which is why, fun fact, you can't use a lie detector in court.
Yeah, because it's not...
This is not a science. It's a pseudoscience.
Yeah.
I don't know how true it is, but I remember the show Lie to Me with Tim Roth. Great show. Everyone should watch it. At least the first few seasons. And Tim Roth's character, he gives an egg. Like an ostrich egg.
So big.
Yeah, big old egg, and he hands it to a guy. Well, it's probably not an ostrich egg, but it's a big egg, and he's like, all right, he's talking about how it's basically a lie detector test, because like some tribe would use it as a, like, if you lied, the egg would break. And then he started, like, poking and prodding the guy, because the guy's like, that's not true. He's like, yeah, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. And the egg cracks. He's like, see, now you're a liar. Because his emotions got to him, so...
Haha, gotcha.
He lied, quote-unquote. Because that's how good lie detectors are. But, yeah, then we... That's... And the most important thing is that after the Lutz family left in 1976, there have been a total of 0 reported incidents at the Amityville house.
Weird.
Very weird. There have been 0 hauntings, 0 spookiness.
The demon possessed.
Yeah, the demon possessed does not exist. And I think... Well, let me see if I can find a
thing. The demon possessed these the Lutzes, and it's just been living as them the whole time.
That would be... It followed them in the lamp.
Yeah, in the lamp.
I should have got this beforehand. But, that the nowadays, it, oh, now it is not 112 Ocean Avenue. It is actually 108 Ocean Avenue. They changed the address. Which probably for obvious reasons. And, let's see. I have it on realtor.com right here. And the last time it was sold, for $828,000.
Wow.
Yeah. It dropped down in 2017 to only $600,000.
Ooh.
But
a little over $500,000.
Yeah. Well, could you imagine getting a house like that just for really cheap, and then they... You get this, like, someone makes a fucking story about your house. You're like, oh, I could sell this house for quadruple, if not septuple, the price I bought it for. Yeah, there's a ghost in that room right there.
Yeah, there's a fucking ghost right there. Oh, it ran me and my kin out.
Yeah, I would immediately, I mean, yeah, I understand. I would immediately, too, sell out and write a book about Lin Lai. But, yeah, Amityville Horror. Turns out, also, people love it. It has been...
The concept of the haunted house?
Yeah, the concept of the haunted house. But, like, there have been so many movies. Like you said, you watched number 4.
Yeah, I didn't know it was number 4. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, there was a 3D movie.
Right.
Amityville 3D. That was what they did back then.
Yeah, it was what they did back then.
But even... That's bonkers. It is bonkers. And even the Conjuring films.
What about...
Let me see. How do I spell Amity?
Amityville.
Yep. Like in Conjuring 2. The plot. Ed and Lorraine Warren investigate the Amityville murders at the Amityville house to determine if a demonic presence was responsible.
The second Conjuring film?
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's right.
Lorraine is drawn to a vision where she lives to murders and encounters a demonic nun figure. She then witnesses Ed being impaled, badly frightening her. I've never seen this movie, so...
I have, and I don't think... I almost guarantee that film does not take place in the Amityville house.
I know. Silence in the medium. Silence in the medium. Apparently this part of the movie takes place in there. We might just have to watch this on YouTube.
Did the shooting take place in
I don't know if the shooting took place, but the story took place.
Well, listen to this. In 1977, paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren come out of a self-imposed sabbatical to travel to Enfield, a borough in North London. That film does not take place.
What? Is that The Conjuring 2?
Yeah.
Why does mine say The Well, oh no, this is like the beginning scene. It's not, like, because in 1977, this takes place in 1976 scene of the movie. It's probably like, this is like the, hey, warm up to the ghost, now here's the plot.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the cold open. But, you know, we have that, and we have the two Amityville horror movies, which one came out in 1979, starring James Brolin and Margot Kidder. I know that name, Margot Kidder.
I also know that name.
What have you been in, Margot?
Oh, yeah, like, the opening scene of the film is them in the Amityville house.
Yeah. Oh, she's fucking Lois Lane.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and James Brolin, I wonder... Josh Brolin. That's what I'm curious about. Yeah, Josh Brolin's father. He was in this movie as well. And it basically follows the same idea. Though it gets some things wrong. He uses a shotgun instead of the Marlin rifle, which is more like a Winchester. This is where the infamous fly scene comes, if you know about this.
Yep.
Priest walks in and bam, flies. Which is not as bam flies as it is in the remake, which was in 2005, like I said, starring Ryan Reynolds, which is so weird because he plays a dad. And the idea, because what George said, is the longer he was there, the more angry and irritable and hatred he would feel towards his family. One of the things. So not only do you get to watch Ryan Reynolds, but you get to watch Ryan Reynolds get really angry. There's a weird scene where he tries to murder someone. Well, yeah, that's the idea. Dads end up wanting to try to murder, goes blah, blah, blah.
I feel like that's psychosomatic.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. But, like, there's this, like, the wife, her hair gets stuck in a boat motor, like, with the blades going, and he's, like, just standing over her and, like, tempted to push the continue button. I'm like, first off, she should be scalped.
Yeah.
Your hair gets done in a boat.
Propeller,
yeah. You're scalped.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's 5 seconds or 10 or like 10 minutes. Your hair gets tangled in that. You get pulled there. You get scalped. And she was there. But yeah, it is there. It's just so interesting to see that. And would you believe it? But both of them made a lot of money.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Did this priest figure also make a lot of money?
Probably. He probably got a portion of the sales. But the
surprise, surprise.
The 1979 one grossed $13.3 million in a week. The second best opening of the year of 1979. Total film grossed $86 million back in 1979. And it was the second highest grossed film of 1979.
Sounds like a scam. It's a scam.
Oh, it totally is a scam. And just to end this out, I'm going to find out how much money that was. 1979?
Compared to nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, it was
87 million, what, like fucking 200, 300 million?
87 million. $1, well, let's just see. $1 was $3. 100, 1,000, 100,000, 10,000, million. So 32, nope, that, I need one more zero. So it was $300 million that these people made.
Yeah.
Figures.
Off of a $300,000 house. They literally multiplied it by like 100. They profited that much off this house.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not surprised. It was probably a scam set up from the beginning. They're like, we can buy this house.
Yeah, we got murdered.
Cause a big fuss. And the sensation will carry us to fortune.
Yeah, and which it did. It happened. But, so, now, for ghosts, you know, sometimes, especially if we're going to be talking about, like, real, and you can't see that, so I'm trying to emphasize with my voice, but...
Air quotes,
real haunted houses. On a scale of haunted, not haunted, what do you think?
The Amityville house?
The Amityville house. Haunted or not haunted?
Probably not haunted.
I agree. I don't think this place is haunted. And unfortunately, this is one of the few places that paranormal people probably aren't allowed to go around and check it, which, don't fucking watch those shows anyway. They're all scams.
Yeah.
Like Bigfoot houses. Bigfoot shows.
Bigfoot houses?
But, big
houses.
But like, so people are never gonna see. I would really like to see, I know it's gonna sound weird, but Achievement Haunter from Rooster Teeth, because they aren't professional.
They aren't taking it seriously.
Yeah, they aren't taking it seriously. So they'll definitely be like, yeah, no, that place isn't haunted, or yeah, that place is haunted. But
that's what the Father Mancuso, that's what he heard. He went in that room and he heard, and he was like, oh, fuck this.
The dog was barking upstairs. He's like, oh, demon. I mean, yeah, you'd probably be on edge. You like, hey, can you come bless her house for murders? Yeah, I guess. I do really like the remake, which I haven't seen forever. I just, these memories are burned into my brain. But when the father is blessing the house starts smoking wherever the holy water lands.
That's cool.
It's a cool little thing that makes you go like, oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
I think also the 1979 has the doofiest thing. I don't know if it's this movie or a different haunting movie. I'll have to, I'm not going to look it up and correct myself, but basically, like, there's a cross on the wall. Something happens in the cross. Flips upside down, which,
ooh,
maybe don't hang your cross by the bottom.
Yeah.
I think the upside down cross is not terrible. First off, it's not even the satanic cross.
It's a cross of St. Peter, isn't it?
Yep. So, not even evil.
St. Peter, who guards the gate of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
The fucking toll master up there.
I like the idea of a demon like, I'm going to knock over this cross. Oh, God, it's worse.
Oh, no.
Fucking St. Peter just peeks through it like, no.
Hey, motherfucker, you called?
Like something like, exactly. No, but everyone should look up the satanic cross because it's way cooler.
I was thinking about that, you know, the whole idea of demons manipulating crosses and turning them upside down. And I think it's because you don't have the nail blessed.
That could be it.
Demon can't touch the cross. They can fuck with the nail that's like held up on it. They can just like twist it upside down. Bless the cross.
I saw this great post on the interwebs today, actually, where it's like, imagine that you're a vampire hanging out in the Mediterranean, and then suddenly you want to figure out why lowercase t's start hurting you one day. Just imagine this random vampire, which made me think, how funny would it be for a random vampire born before Jesus being like, ow, what the fuck?
What the fuck is that? Why?
Why does that hurt?
Why am I on that list? Why does that hurt me?
What did I do? who's this Jesus character?
Who's Yeshua of Nazareth?
Yeah, who's this guy? Where even is Nazareth? Fucking, where is that?
Show me Nazareth.
Oh god, do you think if a vampire walked into Nazareth, they would just explode?
I don't know, maybe.
I don't know, we're getting off topic.
Is that considered consecrated ground, the whole area?
Maybe? Holy Land? Not to get off more topic, but have you ever seen Dracula 2000?
No.
It's a really good movie. Do you mind if I give you the big twist?
Go for it.
Spoiler alert for the movie Dracula 2000 starring Gerard Butler. So, Dracula is Judas.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the whole twist, that he's Judas. That's why silver hurts him, because of 30 pieces of silver. He hung himself at dawn, or at dusk, so that's why he can't be out in the daylight. That's why Jesus hurts him.
It's like, you motherfucker!
It's such a bonkers twist that comes out of nowhere.
I am Judas, the traitor, the one who Jesus kissed.
And just like, you fucking what?
You what, mate? You fucking killed Jesus of Nazareth.
The father of vampires is Judas. Jesus is real, first off, and you're Judas. You're real. Is it weird that I would believe a vampire before I would believe Judas? Anyways, Sven, yeah, thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me here.
Where can people find you?
I don't know, snooping around the Amityville house with a fucking ghost meter and a GoPro.
Hi there. Oh, God. Hi there, Sven fans. I don't know.
What's up?
What's up, Sven Army?
We're
out here at fucking family? Something Lane. Here, I'm at the Amityville house. We're snooping around looking for
Ocean Avenue.
Looking for the ghosts of the people that were murdered here.
Now, I would also like to know you. Not only are you doing this, but you're also committing B&E. Because people live here.
Nope.
Like, he's just fucking in the middle of the fucking night. I
didn't say I was in the house.
I wonder how many people they have to be like, fuck off. Like, open the stick, be like, no, go away.
Oh my god, if I lived in that house, I would fuck with those people so bad. My yard would be full of like underground trenches and shit, so I could like pop up behind people.
Hello.
Like, I would just have cameras everywhere, and if I saw someone snooping around, I would crawl through these tunnels and, like, have one, and so they'd be looking around, and then I would just appear as, like, a shadowy black figure, like, maybe 30 feet away, and then they would, like, catch me out of the corner of their eye, and be like, what the fuck was that? Shine the flashlight over, and I'd jump back in the hole.
What the fuck was that? Oh. Yeah, I feel bad for the people who live in there. And I only know this because I've heard stories about the people who live in the Breaking Bad house. Have you seen Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Yeah, the beats in the roof people?
Yeah.
Yeah. They had to build a fence. Because people kept trying to throw pizzas on their roof.
People are so fucking dumb.
They're so dumb. Like, out of all that, you're going to see this house and be like, I'm going to buy a pizza and throw it up there. Like the TV show.
I would rig up a,
shotgun.
No, I'm not gonna commit premeditated murder. Like a spring, like almost like a catapult. So that whole roof, whenever someone would launch pizza, it would just flip and launch the pizza back at them.
Oh yeah. Personally, I think if I owned the Amityville Horror House, I would not live there, and not because of the spooky ghosts. No, I wouldn't turn it into a tourist attraction.
Certainly.
I mean, I'm sure the neighbors and all that fucking hate that house. I don't know if people go there. But I'd be like, no, if you, from fucking 9 a.m. to fucking, you know,
3 a.m.
No, that, you see, that would be the special on the night of the murders. We would sell tickets in advance.
Oh, that's so awful.
We would take a tour. It'd be a small group. And take a tour like, all right, we're going to go to the first room. We're going to go to the second room. See, I would do shit like that.
That's so awful.
It's so awful. But if I'm turning it into a fucking attraction, I'm doing this whole fucking thing. I'm
going to... You're going balls to the wall.
Yeah, I've already sold my soul to do this. I will fucking do that. So, Satan, if you're out there, give me the Amityville house. Fucking D pops up in my...
I'm kind of paranoid and suspicious. Honestly, I don't think I'd live in the house.
I don't think I would. Well, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't, but no.
Especially not if I was alone.
Oh, God. First off, I would never be able to get my wife into this house. Mm-hmm. She does not do anything paranormal. And if I said, oh, yeah, people were murdered here.
Well, thanks.
Because, I gotta tell her. Because if she found out, that would be another murder in that house.
She'd fucking shoot you.
Yeah, she would literally shoot me, and then she could sell a book.
She would, you would, like, wake up in the middle of the night and heard me, like, hey, roll over on your stomach real quick. And then she'd fucking shoot you in the back of the head.
It would be like, I could just see her, like, so you ever heard, so we're in Amityville, right? Yeah? Yeah? You ever hear this movie, Amityville Horror? That would be like, she doesn't watch horror movies. She doesn't watch horror movies. She's making this up for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is where hell is going to be paid right now.
I would squint skeptically if anyone was like, hey man, you want to move to like Amityville with me? I'd be like, why?
No, like I said, I've turned it into a tourist attraction. I would make millions of dollars a year.
Probably.
And especially on the $150 tickets on the night of the murder. Oh my God. Where the real expensive ones will get you that 3 a.m. tour.
I wonder why 3 a.m. I think it's because it's something about the witching hour, like the veil between realities is weak. It could also have to do with, you know, there's the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost.
Yep, I mean...
3 is something of a sacred number. By performing unhallowed acts, you desecrate God.
Yeah, I mean, 3, 7, holy numbers, 7 as well. Is like, the reason why 6 is such a bad number, because it's incomplete, it's not perfect, it's not finished.
Is that why 6 is bad? How does incomplete how?
That's because God made the earth in 7 days.
Okay.
That's what it is.
It's fascinating.
Yep. Don't worry, we're going to do a number episode. It's going to be called our unlucky number 13 episode, but I don't think I can do a full episode just about the number 13. So we're just going to go over numbers in general.
Save this discussion for that episode, but...
Yes.
I'm genuinely curious if hotels across this country don't have a floor 13.
They don't.
I think that is silly, but at the same fucking time, I would never stay on a 13th floor.
No, that is straight up, that is true. The hotel I was staying at, it did not have, like, we were on the top floor, like floor 20 something, and the elevator there, really cool, because how it worked was, you went down, you hit the buttons, like you hit your floor, and then the elevator would come down, bring you straight up to your floor. There are no buttons inside the elevator. It was really cool. You get there and it'd be like, you're elevator H. Walk in elevator H. Bam, top floor. I did 13. Didn't pop up. There are 4 different consoles. I tried all 4 of them. Floor 13 did not pop up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Fully hypocritical. I'm like, that's dumb. There's nothing wrong with that number.
But I'm not
staying on 13th floor. I'd be like, nope.
Yep, no, that's probably exactly what it is. Like, and again, we're just getting distracted, but the place, the Overlook Hotel, the real one, mm-hmm. where The Shining is filmed.
The Shinin.
Yep, they changed the room number to 238, I think it is. I haven't seen The Shining in forever. But basically, because the original, in the book, it was like 216.
Yep.
And the hotel had a room 216. So they're like, nah, you gotta change that or else no one would ever want to stay in this hotel. In that room. Which, stupid on them, people would pay premium numbers to stay in that room.
It's true.
People are stupid.
Vloggers and TikTokers and fucking paranormal show people there all the time.
I mean, I'm sure 90% of their income revenue comes from people who love the movie or the book.
Yeah.
I mean, like, oh, I'm at the Overlook Hotel. Watch me do a dab.
Yeah.
Or one of the Fortnite flossing. That's a Fortnite dance. It's the only one I know.
Justice.
See, now you've lost me. I'm not that hip.
Do the whoa. You know about the whoa?
I don't know about the whoa.
Is that the That's one? Not right, what I did, but...
But thank you for listening. You can find me at CLT_sandwich and at Inferno Frenzy, as well as theCLTSandwich@gmail.com with any questions, comments, or hello. Follow up, donate at $1, $3, or $5. All of them will give you the same amount. Patreon.com/oddcastn. But if you follow this, you will get an ad-free version of this very show. That's right. I know I started recently putting ads in, but, you know, I had to do it eventually.
Ooh.
I know. But the first whole season has no ads. So, the first whole season, I gave you 52 episodes. But I know, I'm sure my listeners who I, you know, every time an episode's out, I always check it for you guys. You're listening. So I appreciate you supporting. I appreciate you listening to the ads. I appreciate you listening to me. But thank you for listening and sampling today's flavor of the CLT sandwich. It's not the CLT sandwich, it's CLT sandwich. There is no the. We hope that you enjoyed it and will join us next. The CLT sandwich is actually the name of the diner where we serve the CLT sandwich.
Okay.
Just creating up lore on the spot. I'm pretty sure I called it the diner until now.
Yeah.
And I hope that you'll join us next week.
This is all so believable.
Brand new one. Oh yeah. Kitchen noises.
Kitchen noises, AC noises. Yeah, great for the audio. You should let me do your writing from now on.
Oh, okay. Well, and remember, there were whispers in the shadows, unseen creatures, but no ghosts in Amityville out there. But do not be afraid. We're here to make them more palatable for everyone's consumption. Stay safe and stay hungry.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.